and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the epistle lesson. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. This is the text. And so we begin to enumerate the things of the armor of God. Can I have some help up here? Come on, help me out here. Come on, Joseph. There we are. Okay. I'm going to have you stand up and hold some things for me. Okay? And everything that we do with this has to do with the armor of God. Okay. So first, we give you a shield. Now hold it with your left hand. That's kind of, yeah. When the Roman soldiers enlisted, they learned that they were required to hold certain things with their left and certain things with their right. Didn't matter if they were right-handed or left-handed. There was a reason for that. We'll get to that later. Okay, so the shield in Paul's illustration is the shield of faith. And you hold that out and you defend against all of the evil things coming your way. And got to have a sword, don't you? And the sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what this is, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just
going to... It's a helmet. With actually a Roman plume. This was one of the things that they did. So you could instantly know who was on your side and who was not. That's to guard against a sword stroke coming down on the side of your face, right?
Yeah.
Good? Good enough?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your feet with the gospel of peace and breastplate and belt of truth and... Am I forgetting anything here? Well, that gives you a picture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you need that armor to face the things in life. Because it's the armor of God. And it's not just fighting a military battle. It's every day. Thank you. And you can set those down. We'll have you back up here in a little while.
Okay?
So, then we go into our text, and the illustration, this part, is that the whole thing, from beginning to end, is about Jesus. Because it's Paul writing this, and of course, if Paul's going to write it, it's going to be about Jesus, isn't it? So we take a little closer look, and the things that he details, fasten on the belt of truth. Truth. What is truth? Well, there are big truths and there are little truths, right? Here's a little truth. The forecast was wrong yesterday and today. There was supposed to be absolutely no rain. But that's a little truth. Okay? Little truth. Still is gray out there. Little truth. Little truth, if I let go of this bulletin, what will happen? It'll fall. Gravity. Still a little truth. What then are the big truths? Well, the big truths are the things that have to do with sin forgiven, where life is, where eternity is found. And that is in Jesus Christ, in his cross, in his empty tomb. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Big truths that make a difference in life. And the big truths are always about, what's his name? Jesus. Okay, there we go. Next thing, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So, covering the body. But righteousness... What is that? Holiness, good works, sinlessness. Well, do you have any of your own? Whose righteousness is it? Jesus' righteousness for us. His holy life and his suffering, death, and resurrection. His righteousness protecting us. It is about Jesus. And by the way, this is like... some years ago when we were getting our chimney re-tuck pointed. What's that got to do with it? There was a guy re-tuck pointing. I was hanging around because I wanted to learn how to do this, right? And as I hang around, we talk. And we talk about a bunch of things. And at one point he says, "Listen, preacher." That's what he called me. "Listen, preacher. You have to have good works that can stand before God and say that you deserve heaven." Excuse me? I don't want to rely on my good works. I rely on my good works. You know what's going to happen to me. And he says to me, follows up with, "Look, you're a preacher. If you don't have good works to stand in front of God, what hope is there for the rest of us?" Okay, got to get very pointed here. So I renounce any and all claims of good works before God. I don't want any of them. My good works are a mess. There's only one set of good works that I can trust in. Only one person who's done good, who has a holiness that I can lean on. And his name is Jesus. Okay. So the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ. Third, feet shod with readiness given by the gospel of peace. And gospel means good news, and the good news has to be the good news about Jesus. Always. And the gospel of peace, what is peace? Well, the first and most important piece is peace between heaven and me, between God and me. And there's only one place where that peace is found, and that is in Jesus. Yeah, because he has made peace with God, then everything has changed for me. I can have peace within my soul. I can have peace even though the whole world out there is a total and complete mess. Which most days it looks like, doesn't it? Okay. And that peace can come from God to me, and then it can come through me to others. So the gospel of peace, the good news about Jesus Christ and what he has done, brings peace to all who hear and believe. Next, the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. Ah, what does that mean? I've got to have something to hold out there to defend against all of the darts and arrows that come my way, the temptations, the torments in the soul, the doubts, the questions, the troubles in life, all those are going to come upon me. And the shield of faith means that when I'm facing those, I turn back and I say, "Now whose word am I going to believe?" And the one whose word I'm going to believe is Jesus, who has given promises, who has told me things, who has said that my sins are forgiven, who has told me that I am loved by God. And all the way along, it is his words, his promises, that are a shield that I can hold up before the world. Okay. Next one, the helmet of salvation to guard my noggin. That stuff that I use to think through and understand what all is going on. And when the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ through Jesus to me, when that covers my head, then I begin to think in different ways and understand in different ways and know the truth of God in different ways. So the helmet of salvation I've got to have to guard me. And, of course, through whom does God send salvation? Through Jesus. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? That's the Word of God that proclaims, that declares that that decides and determines things. That's the word of God that comes to me from God and through me to others. But if I take up that Bible from beginning to end, who is that Bible about? Jesus. It is all about him. It all is built on and revolves around Jesus Christ. About 3 years ago, I had this, I got to look this up. And what the wondering was about was, what about these verbs? See, in English, you can use a verb, go, and it doesn't tell you whether it means one person go or a bunch of people go. Not so in Greek. Kind of like down south. You have you and y'all, singular and plural. But all through the Greek, it will tell you singular or plural. So I'm going, I got to look up those verbs in that. Okay, preacher, what difference will that make? Let me tell you. And as I looked it up, fasten, belt of truth, put on, take up, and all the way through, every single one of them is plural. Okay, what difference does it make? Joseph! We'll do the shield, but this is not like the good Roman shield, okay? Yeah. Because it's got to be the left hand, okay? And if it's plural, you know, you can have one Roman soldier out there on his own. Impressive, kind of, right? But if instead of this shield, it's a shield that goes from head to toe, and it's rectangular. No. For the Roman soldier. If it's this rectangular, large shield covering the whole body, you know what you can do with that? You can take one soldier. Now, this is the big shield, not the small shield. And you put another soldier next to him. Oh. Ah. You said what? Yeah. A wall. And all of a sudden, you got this wall of Roman soldiers coming at you. Let's march a little bit. And the swords go poking out from between the shields as they go towards you. And this is a frightening, it really is frightening, vision to have. Thank you so much. Oh, wait a minute. And then if the enemy says, okay, it's a wall of shields, I'll just fade back and shoot arrows over it. You know what happens? No. The first row holds like that. Second row of soldiers does this. Now you're covered, and third row covers the second row and on back. And now you got a ceiling of armor and a wall of armor, and you just keep going. That'd be a frightening thing, wouldn't it, if you were on the other end of that?
Well, please,
why do? Okay, now, question for you. Was it God's plan that Christians should be out there on their own, or that Christians should be bound together, shield to shield, joining the faith that we believe in, a confession of faith all along, marching out into the world?
I'm going with all together.
All together, yeah. That's what church is about, isn't it? And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, our sword of the Spirit doesn't kill, it brings life. And that's how we march out into the world. Thank you. And you can put the things back and relax. So, quite remarkable picture, isn't that? And that is what God gives to us as Christians, bound together. And that's why this is so important, to be bound together. Because, see, as The next part is something I learned from my son, who joined the National Guard, Army National Guard, and then he was over in Iraq. And he came back. And he changed my whole understanding of this. I've heard plenty of sermons where the preacher will say, and this is the armor of God. You notice which part of the body is not protected. And they'll say, the back. That's because you're always supposed to be heading forward. So my son comes back and tells me how the back is protected. What guards the soldier's back? In the army. Yeah. His buddy. The guy next to him. And they say, you know, it's the phrase that they use, got your back. And that's a powerful phrase, and it's become part of our language, and you hear it regularly. Got your back. Do you think Paul included that kind of idea as he was writing this section? Let's pick it up and read. It picks up in verse 18, where Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And then he says, making supplication for all the saints. In other words, have each other's back. You see your fellow Christian going through something? Cover his back. Be there for him. Pray for him. You see somebody going through temptation or turmoil inside or difficulties in life? Paul says this. God gave you to each other. Have each other's backs. One more thing in all of this, because it'd be fine to stand together, but there is one among us who makes all the difference in the world, doesn't he? Well, Paul goes on and he says, also for me, pray for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. You see, it all gets back to, it is all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? But the one person who is among us is that person who promised to be there, where two or three are gathered in his name, promised to be there. It is that same person that the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us. And his name is Jesus. And what the Bible is talking about there is right now, this moment, before the throne of God, Jesus Christ is praying for you. He is talking with his Father. He sees your needs, knows what is necessary in your life in this moment and all through the rest of today and this week and the weeks and months to come. He sees all of these things. He prays for you. He talks. You are the topic of conversation among the persons of the Trinity. And Jesus Christ has got your back. That makes all the difference. Because with him, and with him being a part of us and one of us in this world, are we protected? Are we equipped? Are we properly sent out? Do we have Jesus with us as we go forth as a congregation? Yes, 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 and yes. In Jesus' name, amen. And how sweet it is. Amen.